storms each day through Monday. Richard, the Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another day full of sports talk, man. Spring meetings down in Destin have brought us a lot of news, a lot of coverage, a lot of media, a lot of discussions. And we talked a lot about that yesterday. We're going to piggyback off of some of that today, because there's a number of things we didn't get to. And I know one big thing that I wanted to discuss yesterday in regards to Alabama football was the Chris Lowe article with Ryan Coleman Williams. There was a lot of good stuff from that article that I would love to unpack with you guys. So we'll definitely dive into that today as well. And you guys know how we do every Thursday. We're joined by Brandon Clear at 11:30. Always talking some good college football with him. We'll do that. And then at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by none other than Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law, Education and Advocacy, who is our official representation here on the show. And he always is bringing us some good hot takes to discuss. So we'll look forward to that at the top of the hour. So a number of things we want to be talking about. Hope you guys are ready for it. And hope you guys get in on the conversation too. 205-342-9904 is the number. Call us if you guys have a question, comment, concern, anything. We've been running through the phone calls a lot better, man. I know sometimes we're a little slow to get to them, but we've been doing better. So we'd love to hear from you guys. If that is what you want to do, you can always join us on the stream as well at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, on Tide 100.9's Facebook page, and of course on X at the Miller's Edge on all platforms except for Facebook. That is at Tide 100.9. This was talking to Chase, our softball expert, who just informed me that you got the College World Series kicking off out in OKC. And we'll get Chase's thoughts on that maybe at some point today or whenever that comes up, because we definitely got to cover our softball team, right, Chase? Chase has been very extensively getting after him. I mean, he's at the airport now. Chase is going to turn into like the, I don't know, what's his name, like Rappaport or these big insiders, but for softball. And I love it, man. Make sure you guys keep up with Chase on his X. Is you post the most there. I know TikTok as well, but let me see if I remember this right, Chase. At CB3864. Does that sound right, Chase? CB, oh damn, I forgot. Wait, 3864? I got that right. Wait, oh, okay. So maybe it's not, maybe we don't need to change your name. That wasn't that bad. All right. CB3864. That's Chase's X handle. We still probably will change that. But anyway, follow him there for all your latest softball updates. Mention talking some football, a number of things we will discuss again. Some big changes could be coming to college athletics. And this doesn't only come from down in Destin. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but we didn't dive into it deep enough. And that's where what I really want to talk about today and get y'all's thoughts on some of these major changes that can and will be incoming, right? We've now seen some of the details that have been discussed in this bill. I know we've been talking about plenty of bills on Capitol Hill. Do you guys remember that song? Or am I that old? I know you know what I'm talking about. The Bill song? Does Wyatt know it?
I know the song.
Wait, do you actually, are you just trying to, are you trying to make me feel good?
Why would I do that? I would never lie to you. Come on, Christian.
Does Wyatt know what I'm talking about? I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill. That'll ring a bell?
You're
from Alabama. Maybe the school system doesn't play cool songs like that, like we did in South Carolina.
University of Alabama on it.
At least they used to play that when I was in the Crystal. The chat knows. I mean, I feel like it's like a classic. I feel like everybody learns that when you're learning about.
We were 49th in education. The only state worse than us. The only state worse than us sits about an hour west of Tuscaloosa.
And I'm assuming that's the state where Lane Kiffin said he had a hard time getting recruits to come to. Is that right?
That would be the case, yes.
Okay, well, fair enough.
The motto for us in school when talking about, you know, education and things like that is, hey, we may be bad, but at least we're not Mississippi.
Oh, okay, well, definitely some shots fired there. You better be careful. The SEC might fine you. They're starting to get on people for that. I'm sure you've seen that.
I'm expecting a fine from Greg Sankey any day over my tweets right now.
Wait, what have you been tweeting?
That Greg Sankey's getting played like a fiddle right now.
Oh, God. Well, we might need to discuss that. But before we do that, hey, real quick, for all our listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, this is the song. Hopefully we don't get copyrighted right here.
Woo. You sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building.
Gotta give you guys a school lesson real quick. Take you back to elementary school, man.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
There's no way you guys have not heard that song, man. Anyway, it's a classic, man. I remember that song anyway. Just a bill on Capitol Hill. Well, there's some bills on Capitol Hill, and it's supposed to, clean up college athletics. We talked about it briefly, but we're going to dive into a little bit deeper. And one of the things I want to talk about is, speaking of Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, they got a whole Lane Kiffin rule that's, I guess, going to be implemented. That's kind of cool, man. I mean, listen, if you're going
didn't
to
have the
ass,
stones
why not
to
get a rule?
Didn't have the stones to name him in the bill, but it is commonly referred to now as the Lane Kiffin rule.
Yeah, okay, so maybe it's not as cool if it's not official. But if you're going to act an ass like he does, man, why not get a bill or a rule named after you, right? That's probably not good to follow. But anyway, the Lane Kiffin rule, kind of want to talk a little bit about that, a little bit more in depth. We talked about the agent fee, me and Smitty, when he called. That's a good one. A couple other things. And I want to click on the actual article and really talk about specifics to this, because we didn't do that. We were running out of time yesterday. So we'll do all that and more, of course, coming up. But first, we're going to hit our first timeout. When we come back, we'll dive into it. Again, we got Brandon Clear at 11:30. We've got Mr. Adam Lamparello at the top of the hour. Don't forget about our folks over at Lamparello Law. Again, the official representation here on the show, lamparello-law.com. Check them out right now for all those consultation needs. Again, you can schedule a consultation for legal representation. Not only is it criminal defense matters, academic, misconduct, NIL cases, you name it, they'll cover it, and they'll do it at an affordable rate. They'll beat out the competition. They're relentless. They're passionate. They'll take care of you. And of course, if you're a high school, college, or graduate student, or you have some of your own, they always offer support there. Subject matter master, exam and test taking preparation, academic and career planning. They will make sure you guys are all good to go. So check them out, lamparello-law.com. We'll hear from Mr. Adam Lamparello coming up. All that right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're hitting a quick timeout, but we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be coming back with a lot of good sports talk coming at you right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Clouds here through the afternoon, 86. That's pretty close to average for late May. Scattered showers and storms are expected to develop in the daytime heating, interacting with a rich Gulf moisture that continues to spread into West Alabama, settling down to 70 tonight. More of the same tomorrow. The wet pattern actually intensifies Friday through the weekend, with readings in the mid-80s and a good chance of storms each day through Monday.
Richard, the Webbing of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
24-7, 365. We've got all your coverage of the Crimson Tide on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBCR. I think we can move on from the Capitol Hill stuff, even though it did bring back some good memories, man. I I don't know. I see Coach Chelsea was mentioning like remembering every like class, teacher, all of that. I mean, do you have that good a memory, Chase? Do you like, can you sit there and say, hey, I remember learning that song back in, I don't know, what would have been like, what, geography class?
Right? Like social studies.
Social studies. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, social studies, man. That's right. Social studies. Do you remember your social studies teacher class back in a certain grade?
Man, do like I. I hated my social studies teacher. I didn't have a good relationship. Like, I was a good kid. I did my work and everything.
we might have opened up some wounds for Chase, man. My bad, brother. I was just asking about the bill. I didn't know it was a sensitive subject for you. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. But it was a cool class, but he just made it so boring. Like, not like you watch the PowerPoints and like be interactive. It was like, open your textbook to page 2, and we would just like read by each paragraph, and that was just so boring to me. You know, so, but I love social studies, though, as a whole, but the teacher in particular, we're just not going to talk about it, if that's okay.
Dang, no, that's all good. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'll talk about mine then. I'll be honest with you. I don't even remember, like, half of, like, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's just from football, and I'm not saying all the hits. I'm just saying, I think, like, when you get so invested in something and you're just so locked in on it, I feel like, man, it's hard to explain, man. It's like, it just feels like a blur. Not to mention, I mean, I've had a lot of things go on in my life, so that's part of it too. But I can remember some, like, teachers specifically, but sometimes I feel like I like blurred a little bit where I might mix something up. I went to Lonnie B. Nelson Elementary School in Columbia, South Carolina, right off like North Brickyard Road. I remember all that. I can sit there and tell you, right down the street from the Jimmy's Mart, where we used to go get, you know, grits and all that in the morning, and then the slaw dogs for lunch. Like, I know all that.
You're eating good, sir. Okay.
Oh, listen. I always tell people, listen, if you guys have never been, I didn't realize this was a Carolina thing. I promise we'll get some sports talk. We got to talk some food, man. Slaw dogs, I don't know if you guys have ever had them. I don't know if it's really big. I don't think it's as big outside of the Carolinas, but a good old fashioned slaw dog, man, is a hot dog with chili, onions, mustard and slaw. And we have a place called Rush's, which is right down the road from Jimmy's Mart. Jimmy's Mart is a gas station, but it's one of those places, you know, these old Southern gas stations that have the breakfast and the food spot inside. It's one of those. But I just grew up going there. I used to go there and get breakfast, you get cheese, grits, eggs, all that stuff. But they also had the slaw dogs. Then Rush's is a fast food chain that's only in South Carolina. And they've got, oh man, like soft serve, slaw dogs, you know, burgers, just like an old fashioned diner, restaurant, drive through. Man, if you guys ever go to Columbia, South Carolina, you got to try it. But it was crazy because, like, when I got to Alabama, because I was born and raised in South Carolina, I didn't live anywhere else. I was like, man, like, nobody has slaw dogs around here. And I would be asking people, and they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? I think they thought it was just like a hot dog with only slaw. I'm like, no, man, you got to throw everything on it. You know, it's a whole deal. But anyway, man, I guess it's like a staple to the Carolinas. You got to check it out. Now, Cookout, which, you know, they brought a Cookout here, the fast food chain. I'm pretty sure that was started back in the Carolinas. They offer slaw dogs on the menu. Problem is, their slaw dogs don't hit like Rush's, Jimmy's Mart, like the real deal ones. Yeah, that's a different story. But anyway, where are we even going with this? Oh, the whole remembering stuff back then. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I had a teacher, I think Miss Tracy. Like, I like imagining her face, but I forgot her name. I do. That was my third grade class, and I do remember that class. Fourth grade, I do remember. I think Miss, she had long brown hair. It's like I remember what they look like, but I don't remember the names, which is crazy. I feel like it'd be the other way around, maybe. And then fifth grade, I had somebody like Miss Roberts. Then she had left, and we had somebody else. So I guess the more I talk about it, it's kind of coming back to me a little bit, man. So I do remember. Now, sixth grade, I feel like middle school is different because, remember, you had periods, and you had to, like, go to different classes. I do, speaking of social studies, one of the soccer coaches, I played soccer in middle school, believe it or not. He was the women's soccer coach, but he was our social studies teacher, Mr. Brindell. I remember that. I remember a dude named Chris Dixon stole my binder and then lied and acted like it was his. And I'm like, nah, bro, like that's literally mine. He stole my binder. We had to have that whole thing settled. Anyway, not going to go down memory lane too long. I don't know. That is, so it's cool. All right, so maybe I do remember a little bit more. But I definitely remember that song. Definitely brought back a number of memories. While we are just kind of on this whole just random, I guess, track right here, did you see the groundbreaking ceremony yesterday that they held in Tuscaloosa, Chase? Did you see what that was about?
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I'm curious what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, so real quick, because we're just kind of just talking about whatever. They're opening up a Sports Illustrated resort here. And it's interesting because they mentioned this, like, they brought it up years ago. There's been, you know, some back and forth, you know, a lot of people not wanting it, a lot of people complaining about it. And I guess finally everything is kind of moving forward and they had the groundbreaking ceremony. CJ Mosley was in attendance. I think he was there supporting it. I know I saw, because I was confused. I saw him like in pictures. I was like, wait, what the world? I'm like, maybe he's investing in it. I don't think that's the case. I think he just was, you know, they just had him out there for support. But long story short, it's supposed to be like a big old like hotel slash like condos, and they're going to have restaurants and stuff. Here's my thing. And one thing I've learned, Chase, everything's always like built up to be something. And then like when it's finally done, I hate to say it, but it almost feels a little underwhelming. Like, for example, like the Tiger Woods putt-putt thing they built, it's a great place. Don't get me wrong. Again, and I just think it's a great addition. We need more stuff like that. But when they were building it up, I was thinking like, man, Tiger Woods. Some people were thinking Top Golf. And I just think it's just not necessarily what it came out to be. You know what I mean? But it's just nice. Don't get me wrong. Really nice. I got, for example, I think the renderings with this whole Sports Illustrated resort initially were supposed to have like a go-kart track or something like that, like a lazy river. If I'm being completely honest with you, I don't know if it's going to have all that anymore, because the new pictures, the updated pictures, I didn't see a go-kart track. Did you see anything about that?
I'm looking at it right now. I don't see no go-kart in that place.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't even see a pool. There's got to be a pool. I know there's a pool somewhere, but I guess my thing is I'm like, man, I was excited because when I heard Sports Illustrated Resort, man, I'm thinking of like a big resort with all type of stuff. Like, I'm like, listen, that I get behind that. That's stuff to do. But if it's just more condos, man, I mean, hell, the whole place of condos. But bring in something like, what do you think they could bring in that would be like beneficial? What do you think they could bring in? I mean, like a Top Golf would be dope.
Yeah.
I think a Top Golf, yeah. Anything else?
I think maybe like a Sky Zone, maybe something like innovative.
Is that like a trampoline park?
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like they have something like that, don't they?
They do.
Maybe. I think they have something similar. I was thinking like a so back home, I'm just talking so much about the Carolinas. There is a place called like Frankie's. And this is like you talk about a go-kart track. Yeah, you Google it on that computer right there, Chase. I'm talking about it's got multiple go-kart tracks. Laser tag games. I mean, like it's like a, it's called Frankie's Fun Park. I'm talking about one of these big old, like it's not an amusement park because they've got small ride things, but it's not like roller. I mean, amusement park would be cool, but Tuscaloosa, I don't think it's big enough for that. But this place, I think, would be perfect, and I think it would be very beneficial. I just think they should look at more stuff like that, man. Like, that was a little disappointing after I saw the updated renderings of the Sports Illustrated Resort, just because I was like, man, if it's really just more, I get it, nice condos, but in like some restaurants, but hell, I saw somebody make a comment. They're like, man, why not build a bunch of restaurants like along the river, like a nice pier, stuff like that. And I started thinking in my head, I'm like, that could be nice, man. Even if they just started with something like just renovating the mall. If you renovated that mall on McFarland and put
Christian, talk
tours,
about it, please.
Dude, if people, like, listen, how about this? I know some people with a little bit of money. And I mean, we need to find a few more people with some money or some developers. If we just renovate that mall and put in some good stores and put in a little bit more entertainment, stuff like that. Chase, I mean, like, there's so much potential, but I feel like all we keep doing is putting more hotels and condos. Which, I mean, you can't really blame people because, you want a return on investment. That's going to sell here in Tuscaloosa, but I don't know. Just my thoughts. I do know we got to hit this timeout because we got Brandon Clear joining us, and he's popped up on the screen. I see a little preview down the bottom. He's got his button up. he's looking all clean and fresh. I at least have a polo on today. Now, I mean, I don't have my sport coat on, but we'll see how this goes. We'll talk with Brandon when we come back. We'll actually talk some sports finally. I know we've been talking about everything under the sun but sports, but now is that time. But first, we got to hit a timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
You call, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Blake Toppenmeyer, as we set the stage for another busy weekend of Alabama Crimson Tide Athletics on The Game, starting at 2 p.m. with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
WTBC. Hell, we're just going to call it a reminiscing Thursday, what reminiscing edition, because I mean, I've been talking back home as a kid and growing up, and now Brandon comes on here all dressed, all fly. I got a nice sports coat and button up, but he just mentioned another flashback, you know, trip down memory lane, talking about the 2018 season. And yeah, we just were talking about that during the break here, and he's not wrong. That team definitely was stacked. I mean, it's unfortunate that final game against Clemson, where we got blown out. Again, I'm going to be straight up. I can't sit here and talk about our guys getting blown out and getting whooped against Indiana and not keep it real. We got our asses handed to us in that final game.
Those different circumstances, man. Y'all offensive coordinator.
Hey, listen, I'll let you say it because I don't want to seem like I'm on here making excuses because I don't want to make excuses because at the end of the day, the final score was a final score. But personally, I thought the Indiana game was worse. That was my opinion.
It was.
But some people feel otherwise, though, Brandon. Some people do feel otherwise.
Was he the offensive coordinator? And he was leaving, right?
Dude, we went through so many. 2018. I want to say it was Loxley that year. The first 2 years I had Lane.
Yep.
And then Lane left for the FIU or wherever in Florida, and then Sark coached in the 2016 national championship game.
And left. Yep. Went to Atlanta.
Because then in the following year, was Loxley there? No, Dabble. We had Brian Dabble in 2017. Yes. But was he only there 1 year?
But you remember, Sark was expected to be the OC, but then he ended up going to Atlanta.
Right, and so they hired Brian Dabble, I think, for 17.
Was he before or after? Oh, I guess he was.
Yeah, remember, it's had to be. About that until we just said that. I was like, wait, we got to squeeze Brian Dabble. Yep. We got to squeeze him in there. But I don't think he was there in 18. I think he was only here 1 year.
I want to say Loxley was the offensive coordinator.
I think they promoted Loxley in 2018.
And then he ended up getting the head coaching job.
Maryland.
You look at the game plan. I'm not picking on Loxley, but you look at that game plan. I knew it was over when they were running reverses into the boundary. he was not there. I'm looking at that. I'm like, oh, this is. And look, no knock against it, but you already know in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And, that defense coordinator, he's smart, but he picks up on hand signals. And he was reading it left and right, and he had them looking like they knew the plays before they're there, because he probably did. And so the team was just not prepared for it. They didn't make no adjustments. I don't think Lossie thought it was going to be tough. So,
you know, you're exactly right here. This is the staff. I threw it on the screen. Coach Saban. Yep. Loxley was our offensive coordinator, and we had Tosh Lupoy as the defensive coordinator. I'm gonna be straight up with people right now. That was probably one of Coach Saban's years where he didn't have the best coordinators, and we still were doing that. Listen, let me be clear. I love Lox. That's my guy. I mean, he's solid as can be. I mean, everybody messes with Lox. Some guys have beef with Lox. I'm not going into all that, but I like Lox. But what I will say is, I mean, and he's a great coach, but we all know, I mean, I would probably say Lane, even Dabble, I mean, probably even Sark, I'd probably rank them higher than him. And then Tosh, who was my position coach for, 2014, I had Lance Thompson, who I'm not even going down that road. There's a lot to talk about there. But Tosh took over in 15 and was my position coach, and this was his first year ever as a coordinator. And I'm just going to be straight up. It was really Pete Golden halfway through the year serving as the real defensive coordinator, because Pete had the experience.
Man.
Tosh had never done it. And Tosh was, and you know how this works. I mean, a lot of defensive line coaches and outside backer coaches, they're not going to have the same knowledge or the same depth in terms of coverages and all that. So Tosh was having to play catch up with a lot of that. Pete Golden had already served as a coordinator. Granted, he did it at UTSA.
But he still did it.
He was a smart guy, and Coach really respected him, but Coach couldn't promote him.
Nope.
So he promoted Tosh, and it really was like him and Pete Golding. You see, Pete had that co-defensive coordinator tag. But when all reality, Pete Golding was pretty much the guy called. Like, he was basically, controlling Tosh in a good way, helping him out.
Yeah, of course.
And so I say all that to say, now that I look back on this year, because we, like you mentioned, we were a damn good football team.
Yes.
I have so much more respect, and I've always had, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Saban, but the more you really think about it, the fact that this man, and I always say this, but when you really think about it, to not have consistency on your staff, and we're not talking about just position coaches, every single year you're worried about replacing coordinators and having, I mean, come on, man. And he still had that. he was dealing with the coaching transfer portal back at the time, year in and year out. But yeah, I would go as far as saying that was probably one between this year and I would even say probably 2023, mm-hmm. when he had his final year. He had, what was it? Was Tommy Reese the coordinator in 2023?
Yeah.
Final year? Yeah. So you had Tommy Reese, and then you had Kevin Steele, mm-hmm. who was you know, he had previously been on the staff. But I always tell people this, man, and I don't think they really think, I think they think I'm making this up. Coach Steele was the defensive coordinator for maybe two games. After that, that 2023 season, he pretty much checked out.
Man, that was all Saban.
Dude, it was Saban slash T-Rob. So T-Rob kind of was pulling. Yeah, so T-Rob was really pulling the weight there. But, of course, that required Coach Saban to have so much, you know, more skin in the game than he probably needed. And he's doing that at an older age. That's why I always tell people, people really don't know about what goes on. You know what I mean? Like, that's not talked about. But in all reality, yeah, he hired because he wanted to promote Pete. Or he wanted, excuse me, not promote. He wanted to keep Pete. Pete ended up leaving, right? Yep. Not getting into all that. But he wanted to keep Pete. It just didn't happen. And so he had to find somebody. And they were interviewing DJ Durkin. And then they also DJ Durkin was here. Ooh. They interviewed him. And I think they were really close to hiring DJ. And I can't remember what happened there. I'll be honest with you. I don't exactly remember, man. But they ultimately ended up hiring Kevin Steele. And
that would have been a great hire.
I think it would have been a good hire. I think it probably would have been a little bit better. Given that, you know, and the whole Steele situation was interesting, man. I don't know. But Grant, listen, he was still around. He still was serving as the defensive coordinator.
He wanted that year. Right. He needed that year for that retirement, man.
See, you're a smart guy.
You remember Coach Steele was my defensive coordinator.
Oh.
At Clemson. Yeah, man.
Oh, so you know. Yeah,
bro. Yeah. I know Kevin Steele very well, man. He was a great dude, but he was
in it. Really do.
Yeah, we had a top 10 defense when he was there all the way up until my final year, and then it just fell off a cliff, and then that's when Sweeney went over to Oklahoma and got old buddy.
Wait. So was that the year y'all played a bowl game in
West Virginia?
Boat race against West Virginia. Yep. No offense. I mean, I can't talk. We got boat race against Clemson. Nah, but wasn't it like a bad, like, I think everybody, they ran Steele out of there.
Bad, and they pulled the dogs off. You remember, they scored on every play, every series they had, they scored. No. And they called the dogs off. And then their defense was killing us. And I had transferred that year. I transferred to Illinois, so I wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. But I felt so bad because our guys, that was our first time making it to that type of bowl game. And we were really on the up and up. And then as soon as it happened, Coach Sweeney's like, I got to make a change.
Damn.
That's what happened, man. So he went over to Oklahoma. And you remember, who's the head coach for Oklahoma? I just forget his name.
Oh, Stoops?
No. Right now.
Oh, right now, Brent Venables.
So Brent Venables was over there, but he was a co-defensive coordinator. And you remember, they weren't allowing him to take over as full-time coordinator. And that's why he left Oklahoma. They refused. And I think it's because Stoops' brother was over there, and he was co-defense coordinator. So Venables, the only way that he could actually get a head coaching job, or not head coaching job, get a full-time defense coordinator position, he had to leave. And Coach Sweeney went over there and dug him out. And they were trying to hold on for dear life because they knew he was a great coach.
I like Brent Venables.
Oh, he's honestly solid, man. That dude knows his football.
He does. He knows football. He knows defense like no other. Then I just love, I mean, the energy he has, man. I mean, that what you need out of a defensive type of guy like that. I like him. I think Oklahoma's doing some good stuff. And they've got Jim Nagy as their general manager. I don't know if you've crossed paths with him, but I know him really well, man. He was managing the Senior Bowl for years. Reasons. And then, yeah, exactly. Now he's their general manager. And I think they're doing a phenomenal job. I mean, I
think their next step is NFL. I think his talents are, I'm not saying wasted. I think that's like undermining like the integrity of college football.
He has is there any of that left? If there's any of that left.
It's very minimal, man.
Bro, if there's bad left. Speaking of that, let me ask you this, because we were going to talk about some of the stuff that's come up. Ted Cruz, Maria Cantwell, this whole bill. And I'll ask you a little bit about the spring meetings, but I want to start here because we didn't get to dive into this a lot yesterday. But there's some interesting things, Brandon, on here, and I'm going to read a few of them to you and tell me what sticks with you. It's going to mention the one-time transfer rule, which I think is, you know, fair. I think it's important given the Wild West system of the transfer portal right now. Five-year eligibility, like cap, and a pro player ban. We were somewhat joking about LSU's basketball team. I don't know if you've seen this. They've got a guy that his transfer chart says like the Jazz, the Celtics. Oh, by the way, back to LSU. He started like San Jose or something. Another guy that was drafted by Cleveland. A hard cap in terms of, you know, these guys making money. 5% max agent fee. That's protecting players. Respect the hell out of that part. The Lane Kiffin rule. And then some pooling TV rights, trying to prohibit super leagues. And there's a few more things. But just starting there, man, anything out of this bill that really catches your attention?
So the one-time transfer rule is a solid one, but you got to be very careful. Okay. Because, one, I think you also need to reward people that graduate. So I think it needs to be the caveat being grad transfers. So
that's excluded. That instead of like,
correct. From the school they're at, they have to graduate and then they can leave and transfer. But the one-time transfer is interesting because now you put a cap on free agency, which is a solid thing. But now you put the onus is back now on the program. And now I dictate what you do. So I can get you to my school. All I got to do is convince you. And most of the time, they're going to be targeting freshmen to leave because the freshmen aren't playing. They don't feel like they're getting paid. They incentivize them, pull them over. Now I lock you in and I'm saying I'm going to pay you $5 million. And then I look on the field and you're not producing. I'm cutting your paycheck down, but you're here. You're not going anywhere else unless you decide to graduate, but you still to graduate. It's going to take you 2.5-3 years. So I own you. That is going to be interesting. So now the accountability on these kids being very smart and due diligent in how they go about transitioning off. You got 5 years. There's no longer going to be the red shirt. I like that idea. I think that you'll probably have married. I think there'll be certain instances where guys stay all 5 years. And I have no issues with that. I think the super senior things from the COVID year, that's finally phased out. So you're not going to have like these 28-year-olds playing and all of a sudden they've been in transferring to five different schools. I think that's going to be good for the game. But the challenge that they're going to be having is putting that cap. How do you manage that? What governing body do you have ensuring that these boosters aren't doing side deals to be able to you know, offset some of the costs that the schools can't give? Right. I don't know how you do that. The NFL, again, they don't have a cap on whatever endorsements and things you get. That's what you get. Some of these schools like Texas Tech, Texas, that have that, you know, oil money, they're going to continue, you know, beating around the bush and basically saying like, hey, we might be capped, but I can give you a little touch over here.
Right.
So I don't know how you manage that. I don't know how you even ensure, because again, if we're leaning towards these players becoming employees, now what do we do? Because that's really the whole idea is basically saying these are college student athletes. They're not employees of the university. And so that's how they've been able to circumvent a lot of these things. So the NCAA sat on their hands and didn't take that part into consideration to where maybe they had a trust that would be able to generate the revenue and all these things that they could touch after they graduate, right? Or if you stayed at a program for 2 years and you have access to this trust. That's what I would have done. And I think that you probably would not have seen some of these issues that have popped up of the NCAA getting sued into oblivion. The fact that this is bipartisan, I think that, you know, Nick Saban has been doing a great job of being a rep and pushing for this. We both know that it takes forever for a bill to get signed into law. But
that's true.
But the current administration, they're incentivized. They like to have quick wins. This actually could be something that passes by maybe next year, maybe a year and a half. So it'd be a good sign, but I think it'd be good for the sport. I think that it's so far gone, man. These agents, I would actually put stipulations that you need to be certified.
That's a good point. Because right now in college, I do not believe there is, I don't think it's necessary to have your certification, which in the NFL, you do have to be certified to serve as a representative to any athlete in the league. You mentioned the cap, and I was reading while you were talking, Brandon, about some of the ways that at least they're going to try to go about it. And it's kind of what we have discussed and what we would expect. They mentioned you currently have the whole revenue share, which is, remember, it's climbing right now. They're not dumb. They understand there's inflation and the markets are going to raise. Now, it's not keeping up with the pace, right? Because we went from, you know, $20, $30 million rosters. Now, a year later, they're talking about double, 40 to 50 to maybe 60. But the revenue cap has gone up to about 20, or will go up to 21.3, I think, next year. But with this whole cap, I think they're going to just basically say, you know, you have the CSC right now that's clearing these deals. If it's a phony deal, it's no good. And if they do find out you're still pushing those deals through that aren't approved, that will be deemed, you know, illegal right? I don't know, illegal in the sense like they're going to go, you know, arrest the booster there, but you get the point. There will be punishment that will be bad, because the whole point of bringing this deal up is because it will allow the NCAA and the CSC to actually have the backing to enforce these things. Like you said, right now they try, but their hands are behind their back, because what happens? They just get sued and then it ends up just doing nothing. So that's I guess what they're aiming for is they're going to allow, because you made a great point. The NFL, there's no rules on endorsements. If Pat Mahomes is offered $1 billion by some Saudi company, he can take that, right? That's within his right. But in college, they're trying to maintain that, I guess, integrity, I forgot the wording they used, which I can understand why there's an issue here, Brandon. Because like you said, I mean, the NFL, you can take whatever endorsement deal is possible, but I don't know. To be honest with you, man, there's been so much going on. I'm so conflicted at this point that I don't even know exactly where I stand anymore in terms of all these things. Because it's just, I'm like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. Well, probably shouldn't do that either. I found myself, like, I had like one idea. I'm like, man, it's college, this shouldn't be allowed. But in the more I'm listening to all these people on the opposing side, I'm like, man, now they got me thinking, maybe athletes should be able to just do that. Why couldn't they? The other thing on here, Brandon, was I was going to ask you about the Lane Kiffin rule. I don't know if you got to read up on that, yeah. Man. How do you feel about the Lane Kiffin rule? Why I mentioned it's not officially called that, but that's just kind of what people are deeming it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Lane's a different dude, man. He knows how to weave. He knows how to gaslight, and he does a lot of things because he's always looking at the next thing. He'll never be satisfied in a relationship. So right. When you set the tone with Lane Kiffin basically showed that you can quit on a team midseason. All he's doing is mirroring what the kids would do if they transferred. So right. To me, Lane is a mirror of what the representation of the sports from the athlete's perspective is. But other coaches have, I'm going to say, decency. I think that's a strong term. They wouldn't just burn a bridge to the ground, because it is it's a small window. He's so talented. He's burned so many bridges. The fact that he's enabled to even get to the LSU job tells you exactly what they think of him as far as being talented. He's an anomaly. Relationships, this entire league in the SEC specifically is based off relationships. Right. There's always the outlier of a Lane Kiffin that's able to just, you know, burn bridges left and right. And then all of a sudden, when you start holding people accountable, then they'll stop doing this. Lane gets incentivized for the poor behavior, and other coaches mirror that. They're going to find out a rude awakening. They don't have the same pull that he has. And that's just the reality, right? And I think that you can have a rule to kind of safeguard. I do agree, like, you need to be able to finish the season. But if someone's mentally checked out, Christian, a prime example, like you said, 2018, if I know I'm out and I nail it in, it's better that I leave. Because Coach Saban kicked him out because he quit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody forgets about
that. Yeah, he didn't handle that the way he was trying to recruit, which yeah. I know, I get it's hard because you want to be prepared for your next job. You want to do you want to get, you know, start on the right foot. You want to be as prepared as possible. But it's not fair to your former team either, because we're over here busting our ass trying to win a national championship, right. And you're here at practice, but you're not all the way there. And then as soon as the whistle blows, I mean, you're on the phone over here trying to go recruit and do other stuff and figure out who's going to be on your staff.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I understand where they're going with that. It does mention, so some of these coaches that would have been affected if this was a rule, John Sumrall from Tulane. He was hired by Florida. Alex Golesh. New Auburn coach, Ryan Silverfield, Memphis to Arkansas. I mean, I respect it. They're trying to do what's right for the players, for the kids. But like you mentioned, I mean, if someone's there and they're kind of, you know, checked out, how much of a benefit is that? But I at least respect them trying to look out in that regard. So overall, I think they're doing some good here. I know we only got a minute or two left with you, Brandon. Destin meetings, man. Spring means, summer means. I forgot. I can't even think of the name right now. Anyway, you got all the coaches down there in Destin, man. If they're not playing golf, they're in there talking. Yep. Right now, there's a little bit of a holdup, man. Greg Sankey appears that he's stuck on the 16-team playoff. He doesn't seem like he wants to budge. But there's been reports coming out and polls from athletic directors and coaches, I'm sure, have been discussing this, Of Joel Klatt had made this comment, and a lot of people called him crazy. You know, he's just talking. What does he know? And come to find out, yeah, I would say the majority of people in the SEC are now leaning towards a 24-team playoff. What do you make of that whole thing? Do you think eventually Sankey starts feeling a little bit of that pressure from people within the conference, and he finally makes a change? Or do you think Kirby even threw out, well, maybe we just take our ball and go play somewhere else? I mean, how do you think this eventually ends up?
SEC will leave college football. And they will convince the Big Ten to leave as well. They'll set up their own TV deals. They'll set up these, like, the conferences. They don't need the college football construct. They proved it. Big Ten and SEC, if you take those two entities and put them aside, I think that's where Greg Sankey's leading, because he was like, you're not going to convince me that one of these teams in the ACC, like a Pitt, is number 24 in the country and has a chance to make the college football playoff. But then I've got someone that may add three or four losses that falls outside of the top 25, but they're still one of the top teams in the country. Mm-hmm. You can't convince me that that's acceptable. So when you start seeing that and they start opening up the pocketbook, because that's what they're doing. They want more money from that's all the programs care about. I want more money, right? TV rights, they want all the money to come in. But when you look at the integrity of, like, the product on the field, it's going to be compromised. So just watch out. SEC, Greg Sankey's thinking long term. He was going to have conversations with the Big Ten. They're going to break away eventually.
Dang. Well, that's going to be interesting. Well, that's going to be interesting, because one of the parts of the bill also was they're trying to prohibit, you know, super leagues or super conferences. And to me, that just kind of sounds like if you're breaking away, the two biggest ones break away. I can see it now. There's going to be a lot of pushback. The other conferences aren't going to want that. And then we're going to have to figure out some type of, agreement. I don't know, but maybe you're right. I mean, Kirby kind of floated that out there. And
he's not wrong, man. You know how much money will come from those two leagues. You don't think ESPN would get a whole bunch of deals and be like, we're going with them. Big Ten, we're going with them.
Oh, 100%.
Everyone else got to figure it out.
That's a fair point. We'll have to see. Brandon, I appreciate you, man. Great stuff as always, man. Always appreciate the conversation. Thanks for showing me up, man. Next Thursday, I'm wearing my sport coat. It's been a while. I got to dust it off anyway.
I'm going to
come correct next week, man.
Brother. Hey, yes, appreciate y'all, man. Miller's Edge family, thanks for having me. Talk to y'all later.
Always, man. Thank you for joining us, man. Good stuff. Peace. We'll see you, brother. Good deal. Our guy Brandon Clear, former Clemson wide receiver, who joins us every Thursday here on the show. We got to hit a timeout. We're coming back. We got Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello-Law.com, Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Join us. We'll continue the conversation right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-Law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
From 100% online, don't wait. Text BLISS to 797979 right now for your exclusive offer. Text BLISS to 797979. That's BLISS to 797979.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Blake Toppenmeyer, as we set the stage for another busy weekend of Alabama Crimson Tide Athletics on The Game, starting at 2 p.m. with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest
running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Your front row seat to all things Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Quick, before we are joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, but real quick, let me remind you, you got Father's Day coming up. Great time to get in on those cigars, man. Code Miller's Edge at R&R Cigars will do it for you. Great gift idea. Go to that website, rnrcigars.com. Use that code Miller's Edge for 20% off. Plus, if your order qualifies, you get free shipping. And of course, if you are in the area, man, make sure you guys go check out R&R Cigars, a big old mansion. You can't miss it, right there on the corner, 2703 Gary Fitz Street. They'll take care of you. You can go watch games, chop it up. Plus, they've got over 160 bourbons right there, baby. But make sure you drink responsibly. That's the most important thing. But check them out. It's always a fun time kicking back at the mansion, watching sports, talking sports, enjoying the environment on that nice wraparound porch. You can't beat it right there at R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Again, quick time out. When we come back, we're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The NBA playoffs continue with Game 6 on Thursday between the Thunder and the Spurs, and it all tips off from San Antonio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Baseball on Wednesday night, Shohei Ohtani pitched 6 hitless innings and had a leadoff home run as the Dodgers defeated the Rockies 4-1. L.A. has won 5 in a row. The Yankees shut out the Royals 7-0. They completed a 4-game sweep, while the White Sox blew out the Twins 15-2, and rookie Munetaka Murakami hit his 20th home run of the season. The Cubs snapped out of their 10-game losing streak with a 10-4 win over the Pirates. In men's college hoops, Baylor wing Tunde Yesufu withdrew from the NBA draft and committed to St. John's. All-SEC point guard Tyler Tanner also withdrew and is returning to Vanderbilt. And at the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Hurricanes shut out the Canadiens 4-0 in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals to take a 3-1 series lead.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Blake Toppenmeyer, as we set the stage for another busy weekend of Alabama Crimson Tide Athletics on The Game, starting at 2 p.m. with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, big thanks to Brandon Clear, who joined us on Thursday. It's got a good conversation there. Back down memory lane. We did that probably about 30 minutes into the show. It's just one of those days, I guess, reminiscing. Now we're joined by our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello, Lamparello Law, Education and Advocacy, joins us every Thursday as well at the top of the hour. Adam got himself a nice little workout in, fresh shower, feeling good, looking good, man. Adam, good Thursday to you.
You too. Great to be here. How are you doing?
Can't complain, man. Another day, another dollar, and just trying to. It's been raining for like a week straight. Trying to finally get some. Oh, so it's not only here. It's everywhere, I guess.
Well, I'm currently in Milledgeville, Georgia, which is about 3.5 hours from Tuscaloosa, and it's been raining almost every day.
Oh, dang. Okay, so we're in the same boat here. Literally, we might be in a boat as much as raining. It damn near is probably going to flood at some point. Adam, there's been a lot going on, man. I got to ask you, especially with you being the legal expert here, piggybacking off of what we were talking about with Brandon, the bill. Now, and we even this goes back to, you know, Coach Saban with the roundtable meeting. I think we discussed, hey, we didn't even know if this was going to actually have some legs. Well, it might be growing some legs, kind of like the bill on Capitol Hill, the song we were listening to earlier. Because it sounds like they actually are moving forward with it. It's a bipartisan bill, which you always know, like Brandon mentioned, that's at least a little bit more likely to have some success. But there's a number of things in this this bill that they're proposing. And in my opinion, Adam, I think it could, if it does, in fact, get passed and there's not a whole bunch of revisions and things like that, I think it could maybe help college athletics. Maybe we are too far gone. I don't know. I guess we'll find out at some point. But to name a few things, the one-time transfer rule, five-year eligibility pro player ban, hard cap, 5% max agent fee, Lane Kiffin rule, meaning a coach has to stay for the entirety of the season before packing his bags and heading down to Baton Rouge like Lane Kiffin did, optional pooling of TV rights, prohibiting the super leagues, which I don't know how that would conflict with what we just were kind of joking about, maybe the SEC taking their ball and playing somewhere else. When you hear all these things, Adam, what comes to mind? What's good? What's bad? Do you even think this is going to – what's the likelihood with your legal expertise that this can actually be put into place and be enforceable?
Well, first, my question is this actually going to pass Congress? It sounds good, but is it going to get through both houses of Congress? I'm not so sure about that. Second, if it does, will there be lawsuits in federal court which will tie it up for years – such that you won't really see any reform for several years. Third, it tackles some good things, but does it tackle NIL in a meaningful way, and does it tackle collectives in a meaningful way? Mm-hmm. And my answer to that question is probably not. And that, to me, is the big problem with college football, because you are allowing schools that are extremely wealthy, like you had on that chart, I think it was last week, of all these teams that have millions and millions that can buy players, creating a competitive advantage that, in my estimation, implicates antitrust. Does it touch that significantly? No, it doesn't. So I feel like it does a lot of really good things around the edges, but does it attack the elephant in the room? Not significantly.
Well, in regards to the cap, and like you were mentioning, trying to police some of that with these policies, reading a little bit further, it does mention with the College Sports Commission, which is the new enforcement that's created to power these leagues and prevent these phony third-party payments, they are going to try to really police that. And they're really going to try to enforce, only authentic third-party NIL deals. But Brandon had a point, man. It just had me thinking for a second, though, because I want to be clear. I've always been one to get rid of the third-party phony deals for the boosters. That's where all the issues are coming from. We've already agreed on revenue share, which I think is completely fair. These athletes play a huge piece in these TV deals, right? I get it. The fans are important to the event. I get all that. But at the end of the day, man, if the athletes aren't going out there and playing the game, there would be nothing to broadcast. That's just a fact. So it's very fair that they get a piece of the pie, because athletes have been generating billions and billions of dollars of revenue for years now. So there's no problem there. But the third party deals, which creates a disparity, because some, like we saw, Texas had $167 million in 1 year, one year alone in athletic donations, three times more than the majority of the other schools in this conference. That's the biggest issue. It sounds like they're going to try to, you know, try to limit that. I just, that's what they're supposed to be doing right now. And I just, it's just not really working though.
I appreciate that they're trying to do that. The problem though is enforcing that. And right. That's where they're going to have a huge, huge problem. And that's why, you know, congressional legislation, the more specific it is and what it prohibits, the better. If they say they're going to have these caps and they're going to be policing these third-party deals, how exactly are they going to do that? And what resources do they have to do that? I think schools will find clever ways around it. So while I think it's definitely a significant step in the right direction, it doesn't necessarily solve the problem. If it were me, I would say, for example, no team can spend more than $1 million on a player in NIL money coming out of high school and just cap it there. Then I would say no team can spend more than $25 million on its roster annually. Without those specific limitations, just like the NCAA has always had limitations on scholarships, for example, you're going to see schools get around those broader limitations, and with enforcement power being very limited, it's going to be more of the same. So yeah, it all sounds good, but in my opinion, more specific rules sound even better.
And when Brandon brought this up, Adam, it just made me start second guessing a little bit. You know, in the NFL, I mean, there is no enforcement on third party, any type of endorsement deal. I mean, if a guy wants to do a deal with Ford for $10 million, if a guy wants to do a Saudi deal, which we know the Saudis, I mean, they're heavy in the sports, you know, as you know, where there's wrestling, soccer, other things. I mean, they have a lot of money. Who's to say they couldn't say, hey, Pat Mahomes, man, we want to start, you know, being involved in football. We will give you $1 billion to represent some. I mean, there's no rules denying that. My question is, Adam, you know, the whole deal initially was the third party deals. We didn't want those because college was supposed to be an amateur sport. At this point in time, college has pretty much become a professional sport, whether you call it semi-pro, what I mean, it's run like a professional sport. I mean, what is the point even of policing it? And maybe I'm, and I get it, like to create the parity, but are you understanding kind of like, I'm starting to wonder, like, are we wrong for trying to monitor exactly what they may? I guess the whole thing is it has to be legit, but in the NFL, somebody could have a phony endorsement deal and it wouldn't matter. I mean, like, at what point does it just become like, just say, to hell with it? Let's just, you know, we can't even police that because it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, well, I think that, first of all, policing it is going to be extremely difficult. And is the system going to be better as a result of this legislation than it otherwise would have been? Probably not, because of the lack of enforcement authority. Now, I guess what you have to do is you have to balance the player's right to make money versus the, you know, the sport itself having an element of integrity and parity. And how do you do that? Well, one approach could be my approach, which is you set forth specific limitations on the money that students like high school athletes can receive, and you can pay for rosters each year. The other approach would be similar to yours, which is let the market decide it. Just let it go and let's see what happens. I think either way, we are going to have to get used to the fact that college football is never going to be the same, and it is equivalent to a pro sport right now. So I kind of agree with you that doing something versus doing nothing is not going to lead to much of a difference.
Yeah, and I want to be clear on what I'm saying, because I know it probably sounds like you're like, what do you mean? I mean, the whole, you're going completely backwards. I guess the whole point is like when you kind of think about the NFL not truly policing all these endorsement deals, and the whole point initially was to protect the amateurism of the sport, but now that's gone out the window, it almost just makes you, I kind of understand the other side now where they're just like, why are you telling people what they can make? But I also have to remember, you know, it does involve keeping things, you know, fair, right? For all, you know, because in the NFL, you at least have the salary cap. And I was trying to look this up. I didn't know, like, can the NFL incentivize other things or offer perks? Like, say, to try to sign a player. Like, is that legal? Because we know, yes, there's a salary cap, but could they do things? Like, is that within the rules? Like, say, all right, well, we can only pay him so much due to the salary cap, but we could offer him this, that, or the third. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, say the owner has another franchise or business offering a mistake in that, Is that within the rules? Because that would, in my opinion, feel a little bit along the lines of something similar of how they're doing these third party deals. What I mean is offering perks or other things outside of, you know, the guidelines in order to gain an advantage. That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I know I'm probably confusing people, but the good news is we got to hit a timeout. So let's take a timeout and then we'll pick up somewhere else. We got to talk about these meetings down in Destin a little bit. We're joined by Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. The conversation continues right on the other side of this break.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Get tickets now at ProRiverResort.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Rodney Orr, TatterInsider.com, Blake Toppenmeyer, as we set the stage for another busy weekend of Alabama Crimson Tide Athletics on The Game, starting at 2 p.m. with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Clouds here through the afternoon, 86. That's pretty close to average for late May. Scattered showers and storms are expected to develop in the daytime heating, interacting with a rich Gulf moisture that continues to spread into West Alabama, settling down to 70 tonight. More of the same tomorrow. The wet pattern actually intensifies Friday through the weekend with readings in the mid-80s and a good chance of storms each day through Monday. Richard, the wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From kickoff to the final whistle, we've got you covered. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by our official lawyer and representation here on the show, Mr. Adam Lamparello, lamparello-law.com. Check them out right now. Go schedule yourself a consultation. Let Adam help you. Adam, I'm going to endorse you, man, for them to get you on board with this. I don't know who to call. Now, I know a guy that does actually kind of know, Coach Trump, that knows President Trump. So I don't know. Maybe we could try to get you on in one of his flights when he goes and visits us. I don't know. Maybe we can get you in there somehow.
You can tell President Trump, I have a fear of flying. I will get over it for that flight. And then I'm always in a bad mood. So that, you know, I'm always ready to go to war. So
there you go.
You know, in a nice way, of course.
Fair enough. Listen, my brother hates flying. I hate flying. My brother will not fly. I hate flying. You're not the only person, man. I think there's probably a lot of people I fight. That's not the biggest fan. Plus, I was spoiled, you know, in college or with the team, I should say. You get so used to just like, all right, here's your itinerary. All right, just show up at the facility. All right, we're just you don't go through anything. I mean, I could probably like when I was in college, I flew a little bit more, like just outside of it. But I mean, it's just. When you're with, you get so used to it, man, and then you realize when you don't have those luxuries of just showing up at the airport and just boarding directly on the plane, you're like, man, that was pretty nice back then when we had that. Yeah, Adam, I want to ask you. We got a chat here, and you're the legal expert here. They said, what do you think about cannabis for athletes in legal states? They should have a right to consume if age appropriate. Now, you know, we had the whole discussion for several weeks. You were helping us out understand the whole situation with one of the guys on our basketball team. Clearly, this wouldn't apply to this state. Alabama is, you know, very strict when it comes to that. There are some changes being made, I believe. I think recently there's been stuff passed, at least on like the federal level. I think they're trying to make it a little bit more of a, I don't know, lower, I guess, lower the stuff for. Anyway, what do you think about that, Adam? Because they also said that, I guess they had an injury and it helped them recover from that, and they feel like it's good medicine. I mean, do you feel like that's something that legally we'll see be even more accepted for athletes, especially? Because remember, athletes, you kind of, you know, police a little bit different, right? I mean, we got drug tests, we got all type of things. You know, it's a little bit different of a world. What do you think about that?
I think that if weed is legal in a state, say Colorado, the football players should have the right to smoke weed as they see fit. There is evidence that it has some medicinal purposes, such as for pain, even for mental health issues, such as depression. However, if I was the coach, I would explain that the key word here is responsible, and that if they want to be national champions, spending their Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays smoking weed all the time could have a very negative effect. So, yes, they should have the right to do it, but we hope that they do it responsibly for the right reason.
That's fair. I mean, I've talked to some guys that have mentioned they've performed better under those circumstances. I think it probably just depends. But, yeah, I mean, I guess if it's legal in the state, yeah, I mean, you're probably right, unless it's, you know, the rules in the league.
I can make this an analogy. Why should a college football player at the Division I level be permitted to take Adderall but not be permitted to take weed? There is no justification, because they're allowed to take Adderall for attention deficit disorder, but we know Adderall does have some ancillary benefits, including improved performance. Maybe weed does too, but when you get into the business of regulating one and not the other, or prohibiting both, then you, number one, start to fail to address legitimate medical conditions and the benefits that accrue. So I would allow both and hope the players do it responsibly.
That's fair. That's a good point. Now, to the point about the Adderall, I do know that you have to be prescribed it to take it. I do know that. They are very serious about that, because if you do end up taking that and you're not prescribed it, you can, in fact, get in trouble. But if they, you know, if you're tested and you're prescribed it, then you're right. There is no issue there. Since we got our legal expert on here, man, I got to get your thoughts on this. An update has come out with the Sorsby case. The quarterback from Texas Tech officially has been ruled ineligible. I know initially when we talked to you, Adam, you thought maybe that they could have found some middle ground potentially. Maybe they could have suspended him. He missed a period of time, maybe. But they, in fact, said that, no, he is deemed ineligible. They denied his request for reinstatement. Did that shock you? Just your thoughts on that whole situation. I know Paul Feinbaum, believe it or not, he ripped the NCAA for denying the reinstatement. I mean, it sounded like he was very much in favor of kind of like what you said, a three-game suspension he mentioned. But he said keeping him out for the whole season is just wrong. Your thoughts?
It didn't surprise me that he was ruled ineligible for the whole season. I think a decent argument could have been made for maybe a 5 or 6 game suspension. Mm-hmm. But there is an argument to be made that the NCAA is treating gambling different than it would treat a player who's struggling with alcoholism or with cocaine addiction or with prescription drug addiction. So why are we treating gambling so differently? I mean, we don't have evidence he gambled on his own team, I don't think. So you can make the argument that it's excessive, but I do think it would hold up in court because gambling, he's your Division I quarterback for Texas Tech and you're gambling, it's just the optic is terrible. And, you know, when you do something like that, they do view gambling differently. Should they? No. Was it excessive? You can make an argument that it was, but I can understand the argument that he should be out for the whole season. I would just tell Sorsby, what are you thinking? I mean, it really is a terrible, terrible exercise in judgment. And you could make the argument that drugs, alcohol are a little bit different. I mean, this was so egregious and does not portend well for his character or his prospects for professional football. So I feel bad for him, but ultimately their accountability is important and I can understand the decision.
And I want to say, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, I think that was it Cleveland. I think people were kind of getting ready to do some homework on him for like the supplemental draft and try to see maybe if he ends up getting picked up there. But definitely, it's unfortunate because you're talking about he's in a position to make, and I don't know how much of the money he gets to keep, right? Maybe the signing bonus piece of what Texas Tech had paid him, but I think what, $5 million he was set to make, play for a team that was a playoff team last football season and probably was hoping to put his name in that conversation as one of the top picks in next year's NFL draft and all that due to some decisions that he made back what, in 2022, I think, while he was on Indiana's roster, developed a gambling issue, and now it's coming back to haunt him a little bit. It's very unfortunate, but it's like you said, I mean, what were you thinking? I mean, the excuse that he gave was not a very good one. I mean, I don't want to pick on him because I definitely respect the mental health piece here, but I mean, when your excuse is to feel more connected to your teammates because you're not playing, how many guys have rolled the pine? I didn't start until really my redshirt junior year, my redshirt sophomore year. I played a lot of snaps, played special teams the year before that. But I'm like, I didn't feel like I needed to gamble to feel close to my teammates. I'm like, that whoever is his representation, he should have hired Lamparello Law because clearly, why would they let him put that out? Like that's probably the worst reason he could have come up with, in my opinion.
I can't believe his attorneys let him put that out. And someone said in the comments that he was betting on his team at Indiana. Okay, I stand corrected in that regard, but it only reinforces my point that I can understand why it was a full suspension. And then there's this discussion some have about addiction and how addiction is so powerful. Let me tell you, I'm going to be honest about something. About 15 years ago, I struggled a bit with, I struggled with alcohol, overuse, to say the least. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at it as an addiction. Okay. I still had a choice in the middle of those times to make a better life for myself and to do things better. And yeah, it was really, really, really hard. But you still have a choice. You are not a slave to your addiction. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't buy that argument. As much as I have empathy for those who struggle with addiction, you can overcome it. And when you choose to do that and choose to go through the hell that is a recovery, you come out better and stronger. So I'm not going to buy that the addiction caused this, the connection to the teammates. If I want to feel connected to my teammates, I'm going to go talk to them and build relationships with them.
There you go.
I'm not going to gamble. So his lawyers did not do a very good job in that regard.
And that's why he should have hired you with Lamp Brother Law, because clearly you would have held him accountable and come up with a much better argument than that.
That's the price.
For half the price, and that's the biggest thing. And thank you for being honest and vulnerable right there. But you're 100% right, and I agree with you, man. I mean, like, hell, we all have things that we struggle with, and I've always said, I mean, like, I think a lot of times people that do go through hard times, there's no denying that, and you definitely empathize. But you also have to understand there's so many things that people can do, a lot of choices and decisions that people can make to help better themselves, and it's just ultimately up to them, right? It might not be easy, like you said, it's tough. But it's those tough decisions that ultimately will help get you where you want to go and get you in a better spot. So really, really powerful stuff, man. Thank you so much for sharing that, Adam. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling with Mr. Adam Lamparello. Again, lamparello-law.com. You heard him. If you're in a Sorsby situation, which hopefully you're not, but if you are, make sure you guys think about Lamparello Law, lamparello-law.com. You can schedule a consultation right there on the website. Get all that information right there for you. Plus, you can always email Adam if you have any questions. Of course, you can join our stream, and you probably don't want your personal stuff out there. But if you want to get in contact with him, he's here every Thursday at the top of the hour, hanging out, talking sports, and, of course, being a great resource for us folks that aren't necessarily smart when it comes to the legal world. And that's why we got Mr. Adam Lamparello. Quick timeout. We keep on rolling. We come back.
Said that.
Did you say I just said that?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
I can't have any more? Why not?
You earn, we match. Discover Cashback Match. See terms at discover.com/credit.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case in this. I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
it's easy and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
From yesterday's legends
to tomorrow's stars.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
No one better.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. That's a very interesting conversation about that. I see a lot of people, you know, chiming in on the whole source we deal in. And to be fair, I mean, to Ricky's point, he had mentioned like the ease of access with gambling nowadays. He's not wrong. I mean, I don't know how much you keep up with some of this stuff, Adam, but I know from I know the streaming world, that's a big thing. That's kind of like the new, a lot of people watch these streamers more than they do TV, and all of them, it seems like, have gambling deals, to the point where I'll be honest, I'll just be scrolling on X. I see so many clips of people sitting on their computers playing these games. They'll be winning $50,000 off of just a random roll off a computer, and I'm just like, luckily I'm like I'm not dumb. I already there's a catch to it, but I can't only imagine how many people see that and go, man, I want to win $50,000, and that's just not the case.
Well, I will admit that about. Christmas brings out the best in all of us. Yes.
Okay, yeah, fair.
And during Christmas, when I was home in New Jersey, I got an email from one of the online New Jersey casinos saying, here's a $500 gift or a $500 bonus if you sign up with us. I signed up. I took that $500, and on the second roll on a slot, I hit $100,000.
It was legit.
It was legit. I started screaming in the family room in joy. My mother comes in, and I told her, and she said, "You're a fool. This is fake." We drove down to Atlantic City, and she watched as they put all the cash. And then the security came and said, "You're not going to get out of here unless you have our help." I said, "Well, I don't care." And I couldn't believe it. So my point is, although, you know, I don't gamble except for that like one time, it does happen. And I was lucky.
Wow. Well, you should have told me that. Now I'm like, what was the name of that thing? Wait. So it was like a slot thing? Like it was digital, right?
It was the Billionaire's Bank slot. I'll never forget it. And I got what's called a bonus round. And the bonus round hit.
Wow.
But you know what I did with that money is I paid off all my student loans. And that was the benefit of it. I mean, so yeah, I won the money, but I didn't really win so much for myself, but I got to not be in debt, which was good. But so it does happen once in a while. I don't know why it happened to me. It probably happened because I prayed to God before I hit the spin. I'm like, God, you know, it would be really nice if I won like $1 million. And sure enough, I couldn't believe it.
Wait, that is crazy, man. Well, I mean, okay, so maybe it is. So maybe some of it does happen. I mean, and then that was your first time doing it.
It was my first time. It was my second spin. But I will tell you this, it hardly ever happens. If you play 99% of the time, you're going to lose.
Wow.
So.
That's incredible, man. Dang. Yeah. So you just drive up there and then was there like, because it was digital, like they sent you an email, or how'd that work?
You have to fill out paperwork online to verify it. Then they have to verify like your license, your address and everything. And then because of the amount, you have to drive down there. And my mother drove down there with me because she didn't believe it. She's like, "I don't believe this. You're involved in some scheme again. I don't know what you got yourself into." And we're coming back with all this money. And then I got my bill for my student loans, which were still tens and tens of thousands from law school and everything. And it was a pleasure to pay them off.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would say you went to law school for free thanks to a random roll on a gambling day. Hey, listen, man, I mean, I'm not promoting it, but that is kind of cool to hear, man. We do have somebody that got lucky. You got better luck than me. I've told this story before, so I'm not going to bore people with it again. I don't have great luck gambling. And long story short, when you get selected to play in a bowl game in New Orleans, you just kind of happen to venture off into some place. And what is it, Harrah's or Harrah's, however you pronounce it.
Yeah.
You know, you see other guys going to these places. So you're like, oh, okay, I'll go in there. I've never gambled, never been a big gambler myself at all. And so, it wasn't the first time we went. It was the second time we played. You know, so this was 2017. Just follow some teammates in there. I had teammates that are good at blackjack, which again, I don't even, this probably is not, you probably weren't supposed to be doing this in the NCAA, but everybody was doing it. I saw Clemson players in there, our players. We had guys winning a bunch of money on blackjack. Just, I'm not an expert. So I said, all right, I'm just going to try to do the roulette game because I had my, a couple of my teammates like, oh yeah, just bet on a color. So I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's that easy. I just pick red or black.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I thought I had it figured out, Adam. Basically what I did was I said, all right, I'm just going to keep betting on it and just doubling it and doubling it until I win. I'm like, of course. I mean, it's technically not 50-50 because there are a couple green slots, but I'm like, it's close. It's like 30-40% I'd imagine. So, all right, I'm just going to keep betting on black. Adam, I bet on black. I doubled it. I doubled it. Next thing I know, I lost like $3,000 in like 3 minutes. I'm not even kidding. And then I was like out of all my money. And I was like, by all my bowl money and stuff. I mean, of course, I still had like savings, but it was like all the money I kind of been saving up for the trip, or whatever that they gave us. And I just sat there, and my teammates were just like, ah.
Yeah.
And I just remember they just kind of walked off. And I was like, well,
it's amazing how fast.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you can win a lot, but you can lose a lot so quickly. And that feeling when you lose a lot is one of the worst feelings, but it happens to everybody. That's why. Despite my once-in-a-lifetime luck, I say, if you're going to gamble, gamble for fun. Just lose what you know you're going to lose. But, yeah, that 3,000, I must have. Well, that's the best game to play on.
Well, I was about to say, $3,000 in college on a bowl trip, and we weren't getting NIL, right? It's a big difference. If we were getting NIL, I probably would have been like, oh, man. But I was like, dude, I just literally like burned $3,000 like an idiot. Yeah. But you know what? We won the bowl game, and, you know, it's a good story to tell and a good lesson I learned. But technically, I didn't learn a good enough lesson because I ended up doing it again on a cruise ship a few years later. This time, I actually won. I walked away with like $500 the first day. Then I went back the second day because I got greedy and I thought I figured out a new plan.
Yeah.
Lost it all and another $1,000 or so. Never have gambled since then. So I have not gambled in probably 5 years. That was.
This conversation makes me want to go to Vegas.
You know what? And that's why we're going to go to a timeout. We need to change the script. Plus, we got to hit a break and we come back. We wrap things up with Mr. Lamparello right here on this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, Blake Toppenmeyer, as we set the stage for another busy weekend of Alabama Crimson Tide Athletics on The Game, starting at 2 p.m. with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to...
Or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Savings and free delivery on select appliances at the Home Depot. Offer valid May 14th through June 3rd, U.S. only. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $998 or more. See store online for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
From Q3 21 to Q4 25 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. Price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Exclusions like taxes and fees apply. See T-Mobile.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Clouds here through the afternoon, 86. That's pretty close to average for late May. Scattered showers and storms are expected to develop with the daytime heating, interacting with a rich Gulf moisture that continues to spread into West Alabama, settling down to 70 tonight. More of the same tomorrow. The wet pattern actually intensifies Friday through the weekend with readings in the mid-80s and a good chance of storms each day through Monday. Richard, the wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 84 degrees.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Looks like we have a bunch of betting experts in the chat, man. So this is why I'm, well, actually, it's, I don't think you're supposed to have your, can you have your phone out if you're in a casino? You're not supposed to record, I know that much.
You could probably have it out, but if they see you doing anything with it, then the people from the back rooms come with the axes and break your thumbs and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, so I want my fingers, so we'll stay away from that. I was going to say, maybe I'll just have, I can't go live. They wouldn't allow that. But I was going to say, I need our chat. Our chat, we clearly we have experts. You know a good bit for sure. I'll call you, Adam. But I mean, I see Duval. We got Ricky Smitty. I know he's always talking about line. I mean, like, I just need to get the gambling experts from the chat to help me out. Maybe we'll see how it goes, and then maybe it'll change my mind. As we wind down here, Adam, one other thing that had come up that I wanted to get your thoughts on, and we hadn't even talked a whole bunch about. But there's a belief right now that the SEC coaches are starting to feel like they've been misled a little bit, right? We've been talking a whole bunch about the whole playoff expansion and some of the, I guess, the disputes going on with that whole deal. But remember, the whole expansion talk with the SEC initially was kind of like a big no until, you know, there's the discussion about, hey, well, you got to expand and add another in-conference game. But just know by doing that, you know, with the expanded playoff, it should balance itself out. But it appears that some of these coaches feel like they weren't, I guess, really, I guess, filled in on everything, or it's not really going exactly as planned. I mean, if you look at the SEC, we've added an in-conference game, but they're also expected to play an out-of-conference game, which we know Alabama is scheduled to play a team like Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think every conference has all the same rules when it comes to those deals. Do you, in fact, feel like these coaches in the SEC have a reason to feel that they were misled, or do you think that they should have just known what they signed up for?
I don't know enough about it, but if they do feel misled, then they have to take action. They just, and there's got to be ways that they can contest this or force some type of compromise, because I don't think it's a done deal yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what they feel misled about.
I think it's in terms of, like, you know, adding the ninth SEC game. I think they were expecting to have some certainties in terms of, like, probably expansion, right? And then knowing that they'd have, or even just fairness in terms of making the playoffs, which I feel like, for example, like with this year right now, I mean, it's staying at 12 teams, right? But they are going to play nine SEC games, right? That could affect them this season coming up, given that you're still at the 12 and you just added another, you know, in conference game. So I mean, I guess I kind of see their point a little bit, but
I do too, and it makes me wonder, how come they didn't know this? Who was not doing their due diligence in informing them of this and getting their opinions about this? Because I don't think they would say they were misled if they really didn't feel that way. So
yeah.
That makes me wonder what was going on behind the scenes that they didn't get the information they needed to make an informed decision.
Yeah, so basically the nine-game league schedule was supposed to also lead to the expansion of at least 16 teams if they agreed to add another in-conference game. So it really is more so about this year. I think the expectation is after this year there definitely will be an expansion, but at least for now, They just added a ninth game this season, and there is no expansion yet, which could be a little bit of an issue. I mean, hell, I was looking at LSU's schedule. I know there's a lot of talk about LSU right now. Adam, LSU has to play, I mean, Alabama. They have to play Texas A&M. They've got to play Texas. I mean, they've got the number of teams on that schedule, man. I mean, it's no easy task.
You see, no.
Yeah. I mean, there could be a couple teams like an LSU that end up missing the playoffs in this 12-team model, given that they've added another SEC game. You know, our extra game, I believe, would be considered, what, Kentucky?
Yeah, the coaches probably thought that the additional SEC game would be accompanied by an expansion, not that they would have an additional SEC game and still be stuck with 12 teams, because that's unfair.
Exactly.
That's a burden on the SEC that is totally ridiculous, given the competition in the SEC. So I could see where they're coming from.
Yeah, that's, again, so at least for this year, I mean, I imagine there's going to be some expansion following this season, but we'll have to see. And honestly, it's starting to make sense, because that's probably why when you're seeing these polls, they're now in favor of a 2014 playoff, because they're probably saying, hey, we already added another conference game. We want the securities of making the playoffs, given, you know, what we're about to have to endure with this gauntlet of a schedule. So, I mean, I guess it's a fair point. They probably did feel a little bit misled on that. Adam, as always, man, thank you so much for hanging out on this Thursday. Always a good time and always some great conversations. I feel like I just need to stay away from my computer the rest of the day. I don't need to go to any websites that have colorful games that may give prizes. So,
Thanks a lot for having me. It's always great to be here.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Again, Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law, lamparello-law.com is the website. Schedule yourself a consultation. All that representation at affordable rates. They'll take care of you. Relentless passion and genuine care. You guys hear Adam, man. He's the best, man. Let him represent you. And of course, all the other services that they offer as well for high school, college, and graduate students. Adam, we appreciate you, sir. Have a great rest of your week, man.
You too. Thanks, Christian.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That'll do it for us on this Thursday edition. Big thanks, Chase Behind the Glass. All you guys listening via radio, any of our streams, whether it's on X, YouTube, you name it. We always appreciate you guys. We look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.